Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
We're also joined on a regular basis by 49ers quarterback C.J. Beathard.
Being the backup quarterback, you've got to prepare as if you are the guy because you're a play away from being in there.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 27-23 loss to the New York Giants. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Steve, another crushing loss for the San Francisco 49ers, and this is the third time that they've really been punched in the gut in the fourth quarter where they had the lead. It looked like they were going to win the game. I mean, this happened before against Arizona and Green Bay back in October, and now it happens against the New York Giants and a different quarterback this time with the crushing loss. And, you know, certainly Nick Mullins was celebrated a lot for the play that he had against the Raiders. This time not as great, although I don't think he lost them the game, right? I mean, to me it was more the secondary really struggled there at the end of the game.
They did, unfortunately. I mean, I think Nick Mullins was – he was fine. I mean, yeah, he had two turnovers, but one gets tipped. The other one's that's a bad decision. But they didn't lose it because of him. There's no doubt in my mind.
No, and the Giants win it maybe because of Eli Manning. I mean, his experience and finding receivers that were open.
He had time, and we unfortunately saw a little bit of playoff Eli.
yeah, in the clutch.
In the clutch, exactly. And they had, you know, they had a few big plays, and he found some guys open. I mean, touchdowns, and then that throw to the right sideline, you know, cover two in the hole on the sideline. You know, some big plays. Basically why they won the game.
But there were some issues again. I mean, this has been happening throughout the year where there have been some busted coverages. I mean, we saw that on the completion to Evan Engram on the game-winning drive. He was just open. It was a busted coverage. You know, so we've seen that. Even the touchdown, if you remember the touchdown to OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., he was standing there, and there were defensive backs sort of standing around him. It wasn't as if he was running a route, but they didn't guard him. You know, it reminded me of like how you have to deny the ball in basketball, and they just didn't do it, and Manning just fired it right in there, and, he scores a touchdown.
Yeah, and then and Manning was able to, as I said a second ago, that because he was getting time. We had one sack.
One sack. Yeah. And the Giants were terrible at allowing sacks coming into the game.
Exactly. So we didn't really get pressure on them. The coverages, and unfortunately the coverages got highlighted, as well. I mean, I saw the game, but then every highlight that I saw last night or this morning was, unfortunately, the busted coverages or even if they weren't busted, just maybe the attention to detail and
penalties at the wrong time too.
Penalties the wrong time. The one that keeps coming back to my mind is the Richard Sherman one. I hate when that's called. That ball was so far over that guy's head. It's earlier in the game. Does it make a difference? I think they got a field goal out of it. I don't think the Giants scored on that drive.
But still, there was another one where he got tangled up with Odell Beckham.
He gets kind of tangled up with him, and I mean the ball's way high. It lands in the back of the end zone. There's no way the receiver's going to get to it.
Yeah.
And that one just that penalty just drives me crazy. That for or against, I just think it's a bad penalty. I mean, they get the ball at first and goal at the three. You know.
Almost all of them to me, Steve, were questionable. I mean, there was the holding Malcolm Smith. I didn't really think he was holding him. Witherspoon on that winning drive, he had a pass interference on a 2nd and 20, and that turned into a first down. I didn't even think that was so bad.
Yeah, I didn't quite see that one exactly from where I was. So I can't really comment on it, but it's, I mean, that's just, like you said, 1st and 20, and then it's, I mean, 2nd and 20, no, 1st and 20, and then it's 1st down with a, you know, after a, what was it, a 22-yard penalty, basically?
Yeah, I think that's about what it was, right.
So, yeah, that's a Tom Brady play, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I swear sometimes he doesn't have anything, so then he just launches it deep and, you know, 50% of the time, you might get somebody. You might get a penalty.
Right, and it worked out that time.
It's just, we just got to figure out a way to, finish.
49ers Extra continues right after this. There's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit tpc.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. Before we get back to Steve, let's hear what 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan had to say about the loss to the Giants.
Oh, I thought we put ourselves in a position that we should have won that game. You know, up 20-10 after the first drive in the third quarter. Gave up a big kick return right after that. I think followed by two explosives. Got them right back in at 20-17. You know, I thought we had a chance to step on their throat there, and we didn't. We let them get back in it fast, kept them around too long. And then we didn't make the plays at the end. And we had every opportunity to. And our just as a team, players, coaching staff, we didn't get it done.
And that's the thing that was talked about a lot after the game. And I like what Nick Mullins was saying about how effort doesn't always win games. Execution does. And the 49ers didn't do that. I mean, he was really honest about it and admitting that the 49ers need to figure out ways to execute to win these games. You shouldn't lose a game like this when you're leading by 10 in the second half. When you have Matt Breida rushing for over 100 yards, that's not a game you should lose. And they just don't figure out ways to get the first downs or get a touchdown there at the end of the game, you know, in the fourth quarter when they really need to get it.
Yeah, I mean, you go up 23-20 with 2:50, I think.
Yeah, I think that was about right.
In the game, somewhere right in there. Defensively, I would agree with Nick. You have to execute, and someone needs to, at some point, make a big play that, you know, on a third down, somebody needs to knock a ball down or get a sack or something along those lines. But then again, you know, from an Eli standpoint, his thinking is, okay, no problem. You know, all we need is a field goal. We have almost 3 minutes left. Got plenty of time. Don't remember if they had a timeout or not left. I don't think they did.
The Giants had. The Giants. I don't know if they had one.
I don't remember exactly, but you know, but from his perspective, like okay, no problem. I got plenty of time. All I need is a field goal, and then you get a big break like that, a 22-yard penalty, an automatic first down. You're like, oh, that's perfect. You know, a few more completions, and we for sure have a field goal, and you know, maybe we can stick it in for a touchdown.
Well, on the promising side, I mean, Nick Mullins definitely is showing some poise. I mean, you know, they almost came back and scored a touchdown at the very end there. But he's limited, Steve. I want to hear your thoughts about, you know, he doesn't have the same arm strength as some quarterbacks. And, he's not a big, tall guy. And he's giving you everything he's got, but I don't know that he has the skills to be, you know, the starter the rest of the way this year or you know, what his future really is.
I get that, okay, he doesn't, you know, he's not the, you know, he's not, you know, 6'5", nowadays 240.
Right, right. He's not Cam Newton.
With a cannon.
Yeah.
But I like the way he's seeing the field.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him time again last night. They didn't get sacked. And I just like the way the ball is coming out of his hand. One of the suites I was visiting, I watched the play, and then there's a replay everywhere in the stadium. So I turned to watch the replay, and it was a close up of the ball, and I commented to whoever I was talking to, I don't remember, but that nose is just it's slightly down. The ball is a nice spiral. It just seems very catchable, and guys are making more catches.
I know what you're talking about. There was a pass to Bourne like that where it was just low enough where it was only going to be Bourne who would catch it, nobody else, and that kind of thing too.
It's just the type of ball. I think I talked about a little bit last week, just that I'm speculating that his ball is more catchable than CJ's, only because of the way it looks when I can see it really up close like that. You know, when you have that luxury of the replay on television, and also that guys are catching the ball more. So, yes, is he limited at, what is he, 6 feet?
Maybe 6'1", yeah.
6'1", I mean, Drew Brees is not limited.
No, true.
Drew Brees does not have a big arm. I mean,
right.
But he sees the field really well, knows how to distribute the ball. And I thought again last night, Mullins, he did a great job of just moving around, moving the ball around, taking what they're giving him, and let those guys make plays with the ball. I mean, I don't think you can complain at all about the way he played last night. I mean, they should have won. They won every category except for one of the most important, unfortunately, and that's turnovers.
So did he do enough to keep the starting job? I know you got a bye next week, so you got 2 weeks to think about it.
Yeah. I personally think so.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I just like the way that not that I have anything against CJ. I just like the way that the ball is coming out of his hand. I like the way that he's seeing the field and moving around and distributing the ball.
Well, one thing's for sure, no matter who the quarterback is, they know that they have to find George Kittle because this guy is having a great year.
He's the spirit of this team.
He is. He kind of reminds me of Brent Jones in some ways where, you know, he knows how to get open. He's got good hands.
Yeah.
And he is really a bully once he catches the ball. I mean, he's going to get extra yards.
He wants to punish somebody.
Yeah.
He wants to hurt somebody. Yeah, you just watch him, like, in pregame. You know, he's out taking pictures with people. He's high-fiving, you know, the fans. And he's just kind of all over the place. You can see that he's an infectious personality.
He is. And, I mean, he's really turned himself into a good receiver, too. And I know how important that must be for a quarterback to know that the guy's going to catch the ball. I mean, not every tight end has hands like that. It seems like more these days. I mean, when you were with Brent Jones, Steve, it seemed like he was more of the exception to the rule. You know, he was kind of the rare tight end who really could catch the ball, where there are more and more of these guys now. But
yeah.
Kittle just, you know, he seems like the kind of guy who's worked really hard at that, you know, knowing that receiving is such a big part of his game.
Yeah, there are more and more of them because of the way offenses play, and you can, you know, that tight end doesn't necessarily have to have his hand on the ground and be, you know, a terrific blocker as well. He's a guy that's standing in a two-point stance. He's maybe flexed out 5 or 6 yards. You know, they're moving him all over the place. But he's a bigger body in the middle of the field that if you don't pay attention to him, he's getting the ball.
Right.
And if you do pay attention to him as a safety, then a hole is open on the outside. So you have to have that guy, whether it's a tight end or a, you know, an Anquan Boldin, that big body that can work the middle, get himself open, make people pay attention to him. And if they don't, he gets the ball and, you know, first downs and more.
You know, I really like Matt Breida. I mean, here's a guy who wasn't drafted, and he's so much fun to watch run. And it was really by accident that he ends up getting the starting job as the running back because McKinnon got hurt, and right. He's just explosive. I mean, the way he hits the line of scrimmage, he's there just in a heartbeat. And then once he gets into the open field, he's just so exciting. I mean, yeah. I think he's got a great future here with the 49ers.
I think so. Hopefully, you know, we need to keep him healthy.
Yeah.
He does see the he seems to see the field really well. You know, kind of a downhill runner and a cutback runner. And yeah, once he gets to that second level and he, you know, makes that break to the outside, he is exciting. And then the touchdown catch, I thought was wonderful. I mean, that's a tough adjustment for a running back. Ball's slightly behind your head, and he gets both hands, you know, is able to tweak his, you know, turn his body, contort his body and make a two-handed catch behind his head was a heck of a catch.
Oh yeah, that's one that easily could have been dropped. I was like,
no question, no
that
question.
Was good catch.
That was a wonderful catch, and he is exciting. He's a lot of fun to watch.
I think Kendrick Bourne can also be somebody.
I completely agree.
Yeah, now there was that pass, and Mullins admitted after the game that he was late getting the pass to Bourne. And, you can really talk about, Steve, how important it is, the timing. If you're just a split second off on a pass, the guy's not going to get the first down. And he was short on that one. It was like third and six. When they settled for the field goal.
Yeah, it was a little short. It was, I would say, slightly late. But I think I've mentioned Bourne a couple times, and you know, in earlier conversations this season, I like his lankiness, his length. He seems to be able to separate from people because of it, and he seems to be a pretty good route runner and getting open. I think he's only going to see more and more balls as the season goes on.
A little bit more about the quarterback situation before we finish up. And I mean, I thought some of the comments that you hear from teammates are really good. I mean, we've heard George Kittle really giving a lot of compliments to Nick Mullins. And then Kyle Juszczyk also, he was talking about what a great leader Mullins is. You know, for a rookie quarterback, that's something really great to hear. I would imagine that kind of goes far. I mean, everybody's been talking about his preparation and the way he handles everything. And I would think that kind of goes far with everybody in the locker room.
Yeah, absolutely does. I think that's, you know, why last year Jimmy G was able to come in and do what he did, even though I do think that they were ready to win games last year. They started making plays when it mattered. But I mean that's great to hear about Mullins, that the guys think about him like that, think of him like that. Because it sounds like he is fully prepared, you know, day in and day out, which is wonderful. I heard some comments from Kyle even before the game last night. If the guys in the locker room think about him that way, then they've given themselves a chance to win, and now they just need to figure out how to how to make that play at the end. You know, how to protect that lead.
Yeah, they have to close it out.
Yep.
I love what Scott Osler from the San Francisco Chronicle had to say about the three quarterbacks. He said Garoppolo is the coolest dude ever. Beathard is tougher than a junkyard alligator, and Mullins is everybody's spunky little brother. I mean, that pretty much says it all right there.
Only Scott could come up with those adjectives.
Yeah.
I would say he's pretty accurate. Yeah. They all seem like great guys. You want to see them do well, and I think they've all done well. I mean, CJ, I don't think he's done anything horribly wrong. I think he is taking a beating, so I think it affected his feet a little bit that we talked about. I personally want to see them succeed and win and do the right thing, which I think they are doing. I don't think the winning and losing issues fall on their shoulders, to be honest.
No, you're right. I mean, it is a team sport. It's not just the quarterback.
No, not just the quarterback. I think they've done what they need to do.
And by the way, I really have to applaud the 49ers for what they did, having those players from Paradise High School.
That was cool.
Oh, they were running on the field.
Really cool.
I mean, can you imagine those kids everything they've been through? Their entire town burned down, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I saw it live, but I thought what was even better was up on the screen. On the big board where you could see their faces.
Yeah.
And just how excited they were, and they were all running. You know, they were chasing after one another to get out there, and they couldn't wait. I thought that was moving just to see their faces and how excited they were.
Yeah, that was a really good, really good thing that the 49ers did there. Great gesture.
Yeah.
So, Steve, thanks a lot. We got a bye week next week. Try to find some clean air between now and then.
Yeah.
and look forward to talking about the Buccaneers game in a couple of weeks.
Gosh, that's right. I forgot they go down there. They go down there after.
Right after Thanksgiving.
After Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, because they're not home until...
They have two road games in a row, and then they're not home until December 9th against Denver.
December 9th. Yeah. Oh, is it Denver? Oh, yeah. No, wait. No, I think it's Seattle.
According to this, they got Denver,
oh,
then
is it Denver?
Seattle. Yeah.
Oh, then Seattle. Okay, I'm wrong. Yeah, sorry. Sorry. Yeah. That's right.
But looking forward to talking about that. So enjoy the week off,
week
the
off.
Bye week for us, too.
Okay.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. He joins us every week, but we will have a bye coming up next week, so you will hear from us again on Tuesday, November the 27th, after the 49ers game in Tampa Bay against the Buccaneers. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.